This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on February 3, 2026 in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Back in 1964, my grandfather purchased a farm that he extended himself beyond what most people would have said was quite practical. And it was 160 acres, and he was looking for a way to bring up his children and provide means for the family. This topic is about vision and purpose, and I don't think he sat down and wrote out a plan, but he had one. He was concerned for his family and for his future, and for their future. And today, myself and our family are beneficiaries of that vision. So I see a lot of us here today. I don't know many of you. But I expect many of you have a family, you have a job, and you might own a business. So I ask us the question, is vision and purpose important? I think it is. If we want our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to look back and think they are beneficiaries of what the vision we cast. I know that if I could ask my grandfather, he's passed away and is not with us anymore, but I know if I would ask him this morning, he would have never dreamed or expected to see what he would see today. Some things, probably better than what he would have expected, but also some things that he wished would be different. So as we get started, what is vision? It's keen foresight, mental acuteness of something not clearly visible. Think about if we're here today and I see a lot of middle-aged people, there's also some gray hair in the room, and thank you for being here because we need you. And I'm not that old, but I have some myself, so it's just part of the journey. But think about when we're 50 years old and when we're 80 years old and we're sitting on the rocking chair and we can't work like we used to. What would we really like to see? Because we will get there sooner than we think. And if we don't have a plan, we're just going to end up somewhere, and it might not be where we wanted to. It's that clear, inspiring picture of what success looks like in the future. It's the lighthouse on the hill. Think about being out in the middle of a big lake, and we're not quite sure where we're out in the middle of the sea, and we're not sure where that the land is at. But then in between the waves, we see this faint light, and it guides us. It's that overarching vision that keeps us on track and helps us to not get off track too far. God had a vision as well for man, and that was to serve him. And Jesus took that to the next level, that none would be lost. And when we talk about vision, the value of mentors and people to help us and guide us as we go through our business planning, and I really encourage us to reach out to people in our community. We have resources like Anabaptist Financial. And as I was preparing this, my mind went back to Leonard Metter a lot. He was an AF advisor that helped our family a lot in our early planning days. He has now since passed on to his eternal reward, but I'm still reminded of his words a lot as we work through some of this. Those advisors can be very key in keeping us aligned to that lighthouse on the hill. And then lastly, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's not the land or the business. And I think we've all seen businesses that were started up, that were successful for a period of time, and then for some reason they failed. A lot of times there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of cost. There's a lot of damaged relationships that happen when that happens. And a lot of times it's because there's a lack of vision. Something came up, and it doesn't matter what business we're in. There will be turbulent times. There will be high waves when we can't see clearly. That's okay. But if we have those things in place, that we can see that light on the shoreline, and we can realign, and we can adjust, it'll keep us on track. And last, he says, the people perish. Think about our children and our next generations. If we as fathers don't have a vision and we communicate that, our children will perish. And we have examples of that, so let's be careful with that responsibility. What is a purpose? It's why we exist. It's why we do what we do. It's why we get up in the morning. What charges us to get up in the morning and go to work? It's our reason for being, beyond just making a profit. Profit is important. Is there any business here that can operate without a profit? We have to do well if we want to do good. So that's important. But the purpose goes beyond that. It comes from the heart, and it involves everyone, not just us as the business owner or the leader. We need involvement from the team. That really came, that I was really made aware of that as we went through some of our planning. I'll cover more of that later. So why should we have a vision and purpose statement? I'll go back to 1964. My grandfather was a farmer, and he had his plan in his head. I never saw anything that he had wrote out, and he had this special plan that he sat down and wrote out. But he had a plan. As more people get involved, so for example, if we start a business, it might just be the dad starting out and he's doing something on the side, and then it gets to where he does it full time, and then one of the sons starts working for him, and then they get too busy and we hire somebody, and all at once we have six people, and we hadn't really planned to be here, but that's where we're at. The work's out there, we need to get it done. As an entrepreneur, we have this vision in our head, and we forget that the rest of the team might not know what we're thinking about. So it's important that these things are written down, that it's talked about. For example, if we as a family want to go visit somebody, and we decide we're going to take our bikes to go, or we're going to walk or drive cars, whatever it is, and we communicate, the family doesn't know where the people live, but I as a father tell them we're going to go to Joe's to visit them. And we go out at the end of the lane, and we don't tell them where. Some might go right and some might go left. We're probably all going to get somewhere, but we're probably not going to get there together. But by clearly communicating where we're going and the directions, we're all going to arrive there. So the key is that we have that clear vision and purpose, and it will help us make better decisions. Most entrepreneurs clearly see the vision. They think everybody else in the organization shares that, and that's the big mistake. And oftentimes, the entrepreneur ends up being frustrated. Why don't these people get it? I mean, I thought I talked about it, I communicated, and we had the plan, and now they're off doing something else that is exactly opposite of what we had planned. I've seen it in our business where the visionary person that has the vision and can see beyond the next hill, it's so easy for us to be over the next hill chasing the next rainbow, and our people look around and where is he at? We heard Trent share about that. He had that vision. As long as he was there, he could direct everybody to do the right thing, but then one day he was gone and nobody knew what to do. And it's our job as leaders to cast that and communicate it so that the team understands and can continue when we're not there. I like this quote by Patrick Lencioni. If you could get all the people in the organization rowing in the same direction, you could dominate any industry, in any market, against any competition, at any time. That sounds pretty strong. But think about it. In your business, is everybody on the team always thinking the same direction? And when we have a conversation, we can get alignment and move in the same direction. If we're not, that challenges us to have that momentum. And the better we communicate that, the more that is possible. We as leaders need to have passion, and often that's an easy one, especially if we're the visionary person. But there's two other words that we need, and that is humility and empathy. That we are humble enough to recognize we need the rest of the team. We need to surround ourselves with people that are smarter than we are. And we need to be, if we're not humble, people don't think we're open. And as a visionary person, that is a challenge. Because naturally, we come across as dominant and not open. So we need to recognize that and be intentional about being humble and then showing empathy, that we really care about our people. And I just ask myself, do I really have time when I have a busy day planned and I see that a customer, a vendor, or an employee just needs somebody to listen to? Am I available? What is really my mission on this earth? Another reason we want to have vision and purpose statements is life is real and things that we didn't plan happen. The four D's in business: departure, disease, divorce, and death. They're not things that a lot of times we don't get into business and we plan for these things, but these things happen. And a lot of times if we don't plan for them, they can also destruct a business very quickly. We had a situation where my brother Leon was our CFO in our business, and he was serving on a board of a local farm co-op, and they were having some challenges, and he was asked to serve as their interim CEO. And we got together as brothers, and we decided with the mission of that organization and where we were at, we needed to try and make that work. And he left. And at first we had thought maybe it could almost be a part-time thing. It was one of those things you kind of vaguely thought, well, it'd be for a few months and then things would probably turn around and he could come back. Well, I think it's 5 years now. And he hasn't been back since. Without people behind him, and I'm not saying this because we had the perfect plan in place. We had to work through some things. He was still available to coach us on some things, but today we have a VP of finance in place that is taking care of those things, and actually it's an employee of ours and he's taken things to a new level. But if Leon wouldn't have been open to work with him and coach him and help him and be okay that things go better if I'm out of the way, it wouldn't have worked. My wife has a first cousin that her husband is one of the owners, and he's younger than I am. He was recently diagnosed with cancer. He's taking 9 weeks of aggressive chemotherapy, and he won't be able to be at their business at least for that time period and probably longer in recovery. He didn't plan that a year ago, but that's real today. That could be you in 6 months. He was a healthy young individual that we weren't aware that had any health issues. So departure is real and it happens. I had another brother. We have a family business. There's 8 of us brothers. And at one time, we all worked in the business. That can be really nice. It can be a blessing. It also creates challenges. It's one of the reasons I get up in the morning is I really enjoy working with my brothers. But this summer, I had to have a conversation with one of my brothers that was working for us in our business. And with where things were going, him and I both decided that it would be better if he worked somewhere else for a while. It wasn't an easy conversation, but it was needed. And today, I know that my and his relationship are better, my wife and his wife's relationship are better, and our children's relationship will be better. And when we get together for a Christmas get-together, things will be better because that happened. Unless we have some of those difficult conversations, we keep pushing those things off, and then one day departure happens in an explosion, and then a lot of people get hurt. And I don't say this because we did it just right. We brothers got together, and there's four of us that work at Flexter, and we had the conversation. We all recognized we were part of the problem that we're here. It's just simply how things are sometimes. And we need to be okay with that. It's not about our public image. I'm sure some people thought, wow, Wenger brothers are probably fighting and things are going to fall apart. That's okay. What is really happening in here? And I challenge us in our Plain community, I don't care who we are, but public status is important to us. We're human. Let's face that. Let's be okay with that. And let's recognize that we're not perfect and we need people to help and guide us. Disease. We talked about that on the guy with the chemotherapy. Divorce. We might not see that as much with a spouse in our Plain community, but we see that quite a bit in examples like what we just talked about in our family business where we have partners. So my encouragement is, if you go into a partnership, put an exit plan in place before you start so that if there are changes, we can gracefully go our separate ways. And sometimes God has something in mind that's much bigger than what we can see today. And those trials that or roadblocks that we hit that we think we can't get through are the next steps to something greater that God has in mind that we don't know anything about yet. The last one is death. We had a business that we were working with that had an entrepreneur founder, and he had a gift to develop product. They were in the mineral business, and he had some unique gifts in developing product that sold really well. It was a very profitable business, but he was like one of those entrepreneurs is. The community needed him, and pretty quickly he was involved in building a cheese house for the local dairy market. They were trying to salvage that, and he had a farm, and all these things were intertwined and interwoven. And he was in his mid-50s, and one day he fell over with a heart attack and died. His son and son-in-law tried to continue to run the business. They brought some advisors in from the outside, but there was no plan in place. And they have struggled since then, and they ended up selling the business this past year. Not necessarily something wrong. It just created a lot of challenges because there was not a proper vision in place. A man with a lot of gifts that God had given him. We're called to be good stewards of those. And if we want to be good stewards, we need to put a plan in place that outlives us, that gives the next generation directions on how to lead and guide, or it can happen, it can die with us. There's a story in the January PCBE, Put Your House in Order, that gave a number of illustrations. We don't have to be old to need these plans. It's a story of a man and a wife by the name of Kevin and Krista, I think. And they were in their lower 30s. They had five children, and they were planning to go on a wedding trip. And Kevin had a business that he started, construction business. His brother had just bought in, and things were going well. The business was doing well. And they were on their way home from the wedding and had an accident. And it just shares the phone call to mom and dad. Do you have a son by the name of Kevin? Yes. There's been an accident, and there are some family members that passed away. Can you come right away? And the process, the heartache that they went through to go identify their son and his wife, and then they had to go to their grandchildren and explain to them that mom and dad passed away. They went through the funeral. A lot of you have been involved in some shape or form. You know the process. But then they realized that Kevin and his wife had talked about a plan. They had written some things down, but they didn't have anything finalized. And now, because Kevin and his wife didn't put a plan together, the state decided what would happen with their estate and with their children. They were young. They thought they still had a lot of time. We're not promised tomorrow. And I say these things and I struggle to get them done. My wife and I did ours when our children were young, and I thought, well, we'd do this after we get to this certain stage in business. And I sent our attorney a letter, email the other day that we need to sit down and get this done. It's a challenge. It's hard to do, but we have to do that for the sake of our children. In their case, for Kevin and his wife, the state picked a brother in their church. No, that was another story in that same article, but it was a situation where the parents that passed away had siblings in a couple different church districts, and the siblings couldn't agree on who should take care of the children. And then it gave the story of the judge was talking to little Johnny that was 5 years old, asking him, who do you want to live with? Do we want our children to have to make that decision? I don't think so. That's not being good stewards of our resources. So it's our responsibility. And AF has the will advisors here. I encourage you, if you don't have a will, take one of these home. It walks you through how to plan it out. It helps you write down the important things that you're concerned about that happen to your, especially things like your business, any real estate, any vehicles, anything that has a title to it cannot be transferred unless you have written it out and it is notarized. Just writing it on a piece of paper and putting it in the desk drawer doesn't count. And if you don't, the state will. Does our family know where we are going and why we are here on earth? This is more about business, but when we talk about our family, that we take the time to talk about these things and where we're going in life and what our vision is for our family. It can be simple things about what do we agree that we want to do. I don't like the list of do's and don'ts, but what do we want to do? If we talk about that, it's an encouragement, and it can be a great resource when our children get to teenage years, when sometimes it's more of a challenge to see those things, to guide them and help them make the right decision. I really like to, and I don't get it done like I should, but I made it a goal this year to do a one-on-one with each of our children once a month. And I'm not saying we have to sit down and spend 2 hours at some desk and bore them. They're at different stages. They're going to have different comprehension. But our oldest son is married now and is 23. And I look back, the opportunity to sit down with them, especially things like the sacred subjects in life and understanding how God created us and how to deal with some of the temptations in life. There's workbooks that we can use, but I encourage you, let's take time. That is how we cast the vision for them and help them understand that. And we as fathers are responsible to do that, not our church. And lastly, Isaiah gives us good advice. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That is true, and that will happen. And we don't know who's next, but history tells us we will have more young fathers and mothers that will happen to, and it could be us. So where do we start? Take time to work on your business, not just in your business. It's so easy when we're busy to just get wrapped up in the day-to-day. Write down some things that describe who we are as a business. What's unique? Don't think it has to be written in some fancy language, but let's just get it down. It can be a whole row of words or sentences. 80% right is better than not at all. Keep it simple, but write it down. The process of creating it has more value than the end product. When we first started talking about vision and mission, I think it took us 5 years before we had it, and we wrestled with it, and we made it too complicated. But something that a good place to start is at mom's kitchen table. Make some time to sit down and talk about things, and make sure we appoint somebody as a moderator to lead the meetings and make sure to keep us on track, a secretary to keep minutes so that whatever we decide is written down. It's amazing how often we go back. What did we talk about? We think everybody's going to remember, but we need to write it down. It can be very basic. Somebody can write it down with a pen. It doesn't have to be typed up, but write it down. And then if there's one thing that I could impart today that I want to leave you with is this. Create a safe place to share, discuss, and debate. If we create that space, our people, our children will share things that we don't imagine. And especially as leaders that are visionaries, we need to step back. We need to shut up and listen and truly care. Then those things will come out. But there's where we can, when we started, when I was about 20 years old, and in our family, we had a policy that if you were working in the business and you were a member of the church, then you could be part of the business planning. I still remember when I was 12 years old, my father called my brother Leon and I into his office one evening, and he said that he's looking at buying a property where our business is today. And that was something beyond our wildest dreams that would be possible. But he shared that with us. It wasn't a long conversation, and it wasn't written down, and it wasn't fancy. But he shared it with us compared to coming a couple weeks later and telling us that he bought it. So taking time to share those little things make a difference. But in these meetings, we can make decisions like who can have ownership. In our case, we had to work there. We had to be a member of a 4029 exempt church. We had some more details, but we had to work there for 10 years so that we can have voting ownership. It's where you can discuss, do we sell shares? Do we gift shares? How does the business be transferred? The valuation process. Those things are important because if we don't talk about them, then one day we have to do them, and then one person thought this way and the other person thought this way, and we can get a lot of dissension because of that. Another thing that is key is fair is not always equal. A lot of time, parents would like to treat all of the children exactly the same, and that's the right mindset. But if we don't take care of the business and the business goes away, nobody's going to have anything. So we have to look at what will work for the business. And in our case, we were concerned that we don't have a family member somewhere that's not involved in the business making decisions and crippling the ones that are in the business. That might be different in yours. That was just ours. But those are important things to talk about and get agreement to. Here are some examples. I'm going to have to go a little faster here, but these are just some examples I put in here to give you some ideas of vision statements. And sometimes the vision and the purpose get a little mixed up. Don't worry about that. Don't make it too complicated, but get something down to get you started and then improve it from there. This was our first version. Back in, I think we got this one about 2008. And obviously at that point we had Pioneer Equipment. We were manufacturing horse-drawn farm equipment. So as things change, for this was our first mission statement. I'll also call it a purpose statement. But at that point in time, one part of it is says to lead the way in new horse-drawn equipment innovations. Well, today that wouldn't fit very well. But in that day it did. So we need to be able to adjust as time goes on. We had later we had a family of companies. And we wanted one statement per business that was unique to them. And at Flexter, we were working on this, and the product line that we manufacture is welding tables, workbenches, and anything to make the workplace more efficient, as well as we do contract manufacturing, which also helps other companies work more efficiently. So that's where we came up with help companies work efficiently. But after using that for a while, one of my brothers that was in HR and leading the ops team came to me and said, I can't really get our people charged up about helping companies work efficiently. There's no people component, and it just doesn't feel right. So we talked about it. We went back to our original vision statement, and we had something in there about people reaching their God-given potential. So the second version was help companies work efficiently and inspire people to reach their God-given potential. So we had more of that inspiration, but who can remember that? It's hard to go out onto the floor and ask one of the employees, what's our purpose statement? And so this just this past year in our annual planning, we wrestled with this again, and we came up with helping others succeed. Now we have both in that, and it's down to three words. Don't think you have to start there. It took us over almost 20 years to get here, so don't make it too complicated. If it tells you what's important, even if it's too wordy, even if people can't remind it, you have a start and build from there. This is another one of our retail businesses, and that one, I really like that one. It's making farm life easier. It's easier for everybody to understand. The guy that's out in the rental department or the service department, they can all understand that. But think about your people and involve your people. They can help you get this better. Another one is Mount Hope Elevator. It's keeping animals healthy. As a family of businesses, we kept the Pioneer name, and all of the businesses are owned through this LLC. And so our vision statement for the family of businesses is serve God through family business, inspire people to reach their God-given potential, and preserve our Anabaptist heritage of faith, family, and community. But it's the big picture. It's the lighthouse on the hill, and it's one of those things where we never get done with this. But it's a guide for the next generations of who we aspire to be. And there we called it a mission statement because on that level we felt the mission statement fit better. Again, that was our perspective. It might not be somebody else's. That's not so critical, but it's getting something down so that you can go by something. It's more how we do it, what we expect from each business in shoe leather every day as we go about our work. My brother Leon's at Greenfield Farms. This is their vision and mission. He says this is too long. It's hard for people to remember it. But it gives the team what they're about. It's correct. They just need to continue to work on it. And I think that will happen with some time. David Bowers has been helping them. He might be able to help them get it down to that. So some resources. AF has been a big help for us. And I really encourage you to look for someone, and there's a number of different advisors out there, but ask somebody to walk with you and help you. We simply will not figure this out on our own. It's complicated. It's not easy, but there's people out there that will walk with us and help us. We also need good relationships with our banker, with our accountants, our attorneys. They have a lot to offer to help us do these things in a proper and a right way. But make sure that we always filter it through our Anabaptist lens and make sure it lines up with our teachings. Jesus had a different approach When he taught it, gave us the Sermon on the Mount principles. And we need to apply those in businesses as we go about each day. And that sometimes creates challenges for us. It's not easy to navigate it. But if we use that filter, our customers, our vendors, and our employees should feel that something is different when they do business with our business. And I ask us all, do they today? What got you here won't get you there. It will continue to change. We need to work on it. Planning is good, needs to be done, but then real life happens and things change. Being flexible and agile in today's markets is going to be key, because I look back over our history, and if somebody would have told me 10 years ago that we would be doing what we're doing today, I would have said that's not going to be possible, or it's not what we aspire to be. But God had other things in mind, and things changed in our market. We need to face reality, and that's a challenge. Some key things that we dealt with just in the last couple years is a state, we're working on it right now, it's on my plate, and I'd like some advice on this. We determined we need a statement of faith. Of what do we go by on some of these things? Just an example is we hired a salesperson that he's from the Catholic faith, and he's a devout Christian. But he was very open to send emails on Sunday. We were not. Okay, where do we communicate that? We didn't talk about that when we hired him. But that we have something to go by. We recently got an order, a pretty large project that went to the Department of War. How do we respond to that? It challenged our team. They came with questions. How do we deal with this? And sometimes it might go through a distributor we don't even know and we can't really control it. But in this case, we had to get actively involved in this project. Our people had to work with theirs and so forth. I asked around, and a furniture manufacturer and a home builder were in the conversation. They both asked the same question. What if a same-sex couple comes and wants to buy a bed or build a home? How do we respond? We need to talk about those things. There's not a clear red line, this is always where it's gonna be, but we need to talk about that. What really got my attention when we went back to the distributor to tell them that we're not going to bid on this project because of what it's for, they told us they didn't really expect us to. What if we would have let them down? And we have. I'm sure we have. A technology statement. What are we okay with? What are we not? Technology is constantly evolving, and it's a challenge. And we've redone ours numerous times because what worked 5 years ago, it doesn't work today. We have challenges today that we didn't have then. It's okay to say no, but we better have a plan for our people, because we still want them to take care of business. We want them to get take care of things. So we need to have a plan. How do we deal with these things? So in closing, it's a journey. It's not a destination. We don't just arrive one day and now all the plans are in place and we can coast from here. We need to continue to work on it. At the same time, it's not complicated. Keep it simple, but failing to plan is planning to fail, and we are responsible. Let's make room for the Lord to speak into our plan. God might have something in mind we know nothing about. Over the past few years, I've had a number of this come to my life that has challenged me to be more open to what God has in mind for us. We were building horse-drawn farm equipment for 40 years, and we did not have plans to sell our farm equipment business. But we knew some things had to change. We were working in some other industries and gaining some traction there, but we were still pretty new in most of those markets. And we asked for some advice, and before we were planning to close down some of our product lines, and before we even asked, some people tapped us on the shoulder and said, "Would you consider selling some of these things?" And hadn't really entered our mind, but we decided, well, we'll consider it. We talked to a number of different people in the auction business of how could we do this. And they helped us put together a plan, and by the time we got through with this, it was pretty clear that we need to sell all of it. And we had some people that asked us, "What did Dad say? Dad built this brand over 40 years. It was who we were. It was how everybody knew us, and we were going to sell that." People were shocked when we announced it. But Dad and all of us brothers were in the same room when we voted yes to sell that. And I encourage all of you, especially that are older that started the business, that you listen and you be open, because in a lot of situations, we would have had to make that decision without Dad in the room. It was hard on Dad to see that go. But he also saw that things needed to change. My brother Leon and I were the oldest. We were involved when we were through our heyday and things were busy, and we knew what could happen. It was easier for us to let go, but our younger brothers that had never seen that, they couldn't wait to see it go. But I really saw the value of multiple generations working together to make that decision. One of us alone would not have done that, I'm very confident. So if we have that, again, if we have that safe space where we can talk about it, we can share those things that can really help us. But then what happened afterward that really helped me see the need for that we have that vision. So we sold that. That was still 20% of our revenue. And in 2023, the year afterward, we sold our business in end of 22. We had some pretty aggressive plans in our business. And I was responsible to lead. And we had a lot of conversation about putting the plan together. We were in the middle of building a new building that almost doubled our size. We were installing a new powder coating line. We were installing a new ERP system, and we were building a new brand. And a key question that I failed to ask when the team was talking and planning was, what if something would go wrong? You know, the finance department had the ERP plan all mapped out. The operations team had the new building and the powder coating line all mapped out. And the sales team had their plan mapped out. But revenue didn't happen. And we were spending a lot of time on the new ERP and building the new building and installing a new powder coating line. And then in the middle of that year, when the powder coating line was supposed to be starting up, we realized that our contractor that we had given almost $1 million and we only had about $250,000 worth of things on our floor sold the business and might file bankruptcy. Needless to say, the numbers didn't look very positive. My brothers came to me and said, "What's your plan?" Didn't feel very good, but I needed it. It was very key. And I look back to it was a very growing part of my life, where I sought God more than I had in a long time in business. And there was one quote that I had on my desk for a long time, and that's in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding." We're just not that smart. We need his guidance every day. And then, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he did that for us. The end of the year, the last quarter, we had some nice orders come in. We were able to end the year in the black in a way that I didn't expect at the middle of the year. We had a lot of challenges going through our powder coating vendor, and we could have, from an unchristian perspective, we could have said a lot of things, and it really challenged us to truly have that Christ-like response. Without that vision at the top, it would have really challenged us to make the right decisions at the right time and respond in a true Christ-like manner. So with that, I just wish all of your businesses God's blessings, and that you can keep that overarching vision straight and clear and follow him, because he's coming back and he's expecting something from each one of us.